Here. Start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us, for another day that's set aside where we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we're talking to you right now, and I know you answer us through your word. And that's how you talk to us. And so, Father, I just ask that you would just speak to us today through your word, that we could understand it plainly, that I could bring forth the things here that I'm going to teach here today that just plainly to you. Lord, I'm just your servant. I'm here to do what you want me to do for you, say the things you want me to say for you, so let your spirit just take full control. I know you live within me, and I know, Lord, because I have accepted you many years ago, and Father, I just ask now that your spirit will just fully take over everything that's going to be done here today, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. We thank you for giving each of us the breath of life that we can even be here today, Father, and we praise you for that. We ask now for your guidance and direction, and just take care of us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going here today with, we started a study a couple weeks ago on the family. And I started off where it first begins. It first begins with the husband and the wife. And I was showing you some things in the Bible here. First of all, let me read a thing here for you. I don't think I did this one, but we'll see. If I did, it's okay. If I didn't, it's all right. Parenting tip number 37. Tired of yelling to your kids to get their attention? Try one of these. Go to the toilet. Pick up the phone, make a cup of tea, lie down and look comfortable. Ladies, you'll like this, and open a bar of chocolate. Okay. As I said, we're touching here on the family. I was asked to do talk about the family, and we're going to talk about the family. And I know sometimes maybe we do get into some things here that we talk about, you know, that kind of, I don't know that it gets off the subject, but maybe some of you feel that it does. But, you know, I just teach what's in the Word. I'm sorry, and that's the way it is. So we'll just go from there. I showed you where Adam, back in Genesis chapter 2, and chapter 1 and chapter 2, where God made everything. God made Adam, God made Eve, and they were one flesh. He says here in verse 24 of chapter 2, he says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." He tells them that they're going to be one flesh. He made Adam to be a person here that he had somebody to have fellowship with. That's what he was looking into. And then he said that it was not good that Adam should be alone, so then he created the woman here, which then later on he named her Eve. So he said here in verse 23, "And Adam said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." He took her out, and I read this before to you. I'm going to read it again. "She was taken out of his rib." And she says, "She was made of his rib, not out of his head to rule over him, not out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved." And that's what she was. That's what the wife is supposed to be. And she's equal with the man. A lot of people, this is the problem today. Okay, and maybe this is a rabbit trail. It doesn't matter. This is a problem today. You have these women's rights today, and these leaders out here are putting these things into women's minds that they need to be equal. And that they are equal. God created them equal. Okay, He made them equal, so they are equal. You know, the Bible here says so. That they're equal. It's just that she is his helpmeet. I've read, and you've heard, maybe you've read, and there's lots of books out here. It's called Women the Completer. She completes the man. Men, you have to have her. You do. I do. You all do. She completes you. She completes what you're doing. You know, your work, everything. She helps. I just went back there and asked my wife a question. I needed her help. I needed her advice. And so she gave me her. Sometimes, yes. but yes. The other night, if you were in here, Mrs. Caudner gave pastor advice. You're out of tune. I laughed about that the whole time. It was good advice. It was good advice. I mean, you couldn't come in there in the piano if he was out of tune. I understand. So it's advice. You see, you need her. You need her. And that Adam here, he needed her. God created her for. And yes, I told you before, we're all made different. We are made different, you know. And maybe you'll see some of it here today of what I'm talking about that we're different. But anyhow, we're different. He said that they were one flesh. They became man and bone. He said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." But they became one flesh. They were one flesh amongst one another. Let me see. What do I want here? Anyhow, they were one flesh. 2:24. Yes. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Joined together, one flesh. God has put them together. God has put you together. You're one flesh now. This here marriage was made in heaven, and I believe all marriages are, but this one here definitely was made in heaven. This was God's handiwork. He made it. He made Adam. This Adam and Eve were the only people that were created this way. All the rest of you came, myself and all of us, came from reproduction after that. But this was just one man and one woman that was created this way, you know. And then he told them that they were supposed to replenish the earth, you know, and things like that. So that's what he did. So they were one flesh. And he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave. And I've been telling you that what cleave means the past couple weeks. Cleave means stuck together like glue. It means hold fast, joined. Okay, you're joined together. You're hold fast. You're stuck together like glue. And cleave here, and that's what he's talking about here when he says this. That's why he says cleave together unto he's to cleave unto his wife, and then they shall be one flesh. They're one. One together. So God's ideal plan for marriage is one man for one woman for one lifetime. That's what it's all about, you know. People who think that, you know, well, there's so much today with these young kids that they think that they got to lived with somebody first to see how it's going to work out, and then maybe we'll get married and maybe we won't. No, that's not what God set up. That's not his plan. That's not nothing of it all right now. Right now, I don't know why that the Lord puts me with these young kids where I work at. I have another one right now, the same thing. He's living with his girlfriend. And he keeps talking about buying her a ring to get married. And that's good because I keep on his case about it constantly. He said that he was going to go buy a new truck. I said, what about the ring? Well, I got to get that afterwards. I said, well, you better get that afterwards, buddy. You need to do that. You know, and I'm constantly on him about it. You know, that's no good. That's not the way God set it up to be. And you're not to live together and all this and that stuff first. So he tells him that he says here that you're to leave your father and your mother, and you're to cleave unto your wife. It's your own family now that you are starting out with here. A husband and a wife have a better chance for a successful marriage if there is some independence physically, emotionally, financially, from parents and in-laws. Ephesians 5:31. He tells us these things. So, but I want to stick together here just for a minute here, just on cleave. You're to cleave. And like I say, it's stuck together. I'll start up here with you, Pastor, again. Deuteronomy 4:4. Eileen, Deuteronomy 10:20. Van, Deuteronomy 11:22. And Bunny, Deuteronomy 13:4. Corby, Joshua 22:5. Natalie, Joshua 23:8. And Danny, Acts 11:23. We're to cleave together. Now, here's another way we're to cleave. Go ahead, Pastor. Deuteronomy 4:4.
But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day.
Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 10:20.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name.
Deuteronomy 11:22.
For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him.
Deuteronomy 13:4.
Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him.
Joshua 22:5.
But take diligent heed. Love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Joshua 23:8.
But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day.
And Acts 11:23.
Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and adored them all, that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
So there you hear verses that you're to cleave to God. You're to cleave to God just the same as you are to your wife. It's the same identical thing. Whatever you do with the Lord, you do with your wife. Stick together. You stick together. That's why I said cleave means stick together. You hold fast. You hold fast to the Lord. You don't give up on him. You never give up on him. There's times in your life where there's things that come into your life that happen, but you still got to stick to the Lord. God knows best for you. Just let him let him take you through it. He's putting you through a trial and a test, and he's going to take you through it. Sometimes they get tough. I agree. I'll agree 100%. I had a point. There was a point in my life when I had my back broke. It came to the point where I said, "Lord, I can't take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. I can't take this pain anymore. I can't take it anymore, Lord. Do something." You know, he heard my prayer, and he answered it right away. That's what's great about it. Stick to the Lord. Cleave to him. Same way with a husband and wife. Stick together. Yes, you're going to have trials and tests and tribulations. You're going to have tough times. There's times where you have tough times. There's nothing in the Bible says that you're going to have good times. A Christian, it doesn't say that you're going to have great times. But God will take you through it. Just hang in there. You know, what I'm going to be going over here in a little bit. Forgiving one another. God forgives you. Now, why can't you forgive your husband or your wife? You can do it. It's something that you can do. But we're going to hit that for a little bit. So here he says, he's telling him, he says, cleave unto, he took his wife. This was his marriage here. He took his wife and he cleaved unto her. And he says, they shall be one flesh. They're one flesh now. You can't separate them. You're one flesh. Is there anything that anybody can think of that can separate that flesh, that oneness? There is something.
Death.
God says that. He says that in his word. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 7:39. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Death is the only thing that can break your marriage, that can break that oneness, that one flesh. Death is the only thing. If I would die today, my marriage with my wife, our commitment that we made with one another, is broken. It's no more. It's done for. Now, if she wants to, poor guy, but if she wants to, I have to get my digs in too, Pastor, you do. But if she wants to, she's more than welcome to. She can. She can do it. According to God's word, she can remarry again. But it's nice that I like it, what he says there, only in the Lord. You know, let the Lord do it. You know, let the Lord provide if that's the case. So that's what breaks the one flesh. That's what breaks the one flesh. Death. Nothing else can break that one flesh. You know. Now, I'm going to get into a touchy subject here. And some of you already know, because some of you I've talked to you about it. But anyhow, divorce cannot break it. It's broke. I mean, you can break it with divorce, but let me show you something here. Turn back to Matthew chapter. Well, let me start off with these verses first. Matthew chapter 5. You say, well, divorce is in the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Matthew chapter 5, starting off with verse 31. Jesus teaches about divorce here. It says, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So Jesus is saying here that's the only reason. If there's a reason to put her away for divorcement, that's the only reason. But Mark chapter 10. Go back to Mark chapter 10. Let me start here in chapter 10 and verse 1. And he arose thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wrought, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. Okay, they're asking him. They're tempting him. They're saying, you know, is it lawful to put away his wife? And they knew the word. They knew what Moses' law was. They knew what it was all about, and they're tempting him now. They're asking him a question. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? I like that. He asked them a question. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, here's the cause. This is why this is all about. For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. In other words, for the hardness of your heart, he's saying, you didn't want to do it because there was some. You want to do this because you want to get rid of your companionship. You want to get rid of your oneness. You want to get rid of your communication with her. It was for the hardness of their heart. Keep going here. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain, that's two, shall be one flesh. So then they shall be no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God joined it together. God did it. And he's just telling them, let no man put it asunder. Divorce is wrong. He's saying that. He's telling them that. Divorce is wrong. Now, yes, I understand that some of you have gone through that already. It's fine. You know, I'm going to touch on that. But see, here's the real problem. This is where it all starts. A man and a woman, either or, it doesn't matter, maybe both. It comes to the putting away. They want to put them away. You know, they want to get rid of them. They want to get rid of his or her partner. And like I said, this putting away is it's taking away from what marriage is all about. Companionship, communication, oneness, you know. That's what happens when it all starts. It breaks down. Something happens between the partners, and then one or the other gets hurt. And then if you don't get it right away, it just festers and keeps festering and keeps festering. Why do you think that God said that you're not to even go to bed angry, that you're supposed to get everything right before you go to bed? That's what he is talking about. Get it right. If you have some kind of a problem, if there's something with the communication, if there's something with the companionship, the oneness, one or the other hurt one another, get it right. He wants you to get it right. Now, this companionship and this conversation of oneness, attention, respect, fulfillment of the other ones, of the marriage partners, you see, if you cut that out, that's adultery. Now, everybody thinks that adultery is this illicit sex between somebody else besides your wife. It is, but adultery starts right here. There's different forms of adultery. God says it in his word. There's different forms of it. Why do you think he told, back in Revelation, he tells the Babylon church, he says about the Babylon church, he says the kings have committed fornication with her. Instead of being one with God, the kings had to go to Babylon, you know, and they had to depend upon her to take care and meet their needs. Their wants, their desires, and all it was about money and things like that is all that it was. You see, it was an adultery. It was an adultery that he was talking about. What do you think God he was talking about when he told Israel if they worship idols, that he considered it as adultery? You see, there's different forms. And this is a form of adultery when the communication, and just what I read there, the communication, the oneness, the attention, and the respect for the other person, you know, is broken down. It's broken down. And you need to get it right. Because what happens is with this kind of adultery, then the other person starts seeking something else. They either start seeking it from somebody else, they start talking to somebody else, and then, oh, the companionship's there. Oh, the oneness is there, you know, and the attention's there, and all this and that. And then it all starts. You see, that's what starts it out. That's why you need to get it right. So you know, God ordained this marriage to be one. He wanted it to be together. You know, and he wants you to have these kind of things. And like I said, the couples, maybe they don't get divorced right away or anything. They're sharing a house together, they're living together, they're having the physical relationship, which means nothing to them anymore. But they're just there. The union is, you might as well say, the union's ended until they get it right. You know. My boss, I feel for my boss. He's one of these guys. Him and his wife, he said, we just exist. Now, isn't that some marriage? We just exist. He tells me that him and I've been talking about this a little bit. He's already, I guess they're into proceedings, or else they already got the divorce, but she's still there with him. She's not leaving until He already settled her to her with the house and all that, but she's not allowed to. She's there till the end of the year. But I said, "What's it like?" You know. Well, we he said, "Well, we still get along really good. We cook for one another. We help one another out." I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me, these kind of things. You know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. That's what I can say about it, you know. Pastor, go ahead.
If this gets in the way of what you're going to do later, stop me.
No.
I believe love is a choice. And I think that the problem we face today is that too many people have this worldly notion of what love is. You know, I fell in love. You don't fall in love. It's a choice. You're infatuated, you're affectionate toward, or you lust after. But love is something that's developed and has to be worked at.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God chose to love us. We weren't lovely. And the problem is, you know, as Christians, we're commanded to love one another. So this idea, well, I've fallen out of love, or I don't love you anymore, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You may not like the person, but you still got to love them. And we just need to have a biblical approach to this thing. And if you've made that commitment to till death do us part, to richer for poor, for better for worse, in sickness and in health, I mean, that was a vow before God if you were married in the church by a preacher. And does your vow not mean anything? That you decided to love this person regardless? And if you quit, why? You were wrong.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I was going to. That's fine. I just left you go because you're exactly right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you got married. I mean, when you guys were standing up here in the front of the church and you seen that bride walking down the aisle, I mean, your hair was perfect. Her hair was perfect. She smelled great. She looked great. You know, it was just the greatest thing on earth. You know, you did all your thing that day, you know, and stuff. And you went someplace, you probably got a motel room or something, but the next morning you woke up and you go, whoa! Her hair, look at her hair. Look at his hair. Ooh, who has smelly armpits? You know, oh man! Love grows on you. Love, you like Pastor said there, you've got to work on love. It's something, it's just not all there the first night, day that you saw her or when you saw her walking down that aisle. The older you get, the stronger your love should be getting for one another. A lot of you experienced this already, and you know, it's nothing new to you. Maybe some of you younger ones haven't yet. But there's times where my wife amazes me that her and I are thinking the same thing. I think, what in the world? You got to be kidding. Just lately, I'm not going to say what the situation was, but just lately, she said to me about this certain thing, and I thought, that's exactly what I was thinking. And then she actually agreed with me. For change. It amazed me, you know. It did amaze me. So, you know, you do. That love is growing stronger. It's getting stronger all the time. It's just like you plant an apple tree in the ground. The first year, you may get a few apples, you know. But the next year, you get more apples. The next year, you get more. It just keeps growing and growing. You get more and more. That's what love is. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger every year. I can't do without my wife right now. And it's going to get worse yet because there's something coming up in my life I know of. I've got to have her. So it grows stronger. it definitely grows stronger. I know it, you know. And that's why I say, divorce isn't the issue. Divorce isn't the thing. Get it right. God says in His Word, in Matthew 18:15, more, and this is just one of the things that He puts out here for you. He says, moreover, if a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. In other words, God's telling him, you know, here you have, he knows that there's a brother, you know a brother or something, that something happened. Go to him. First of all, go to the person with the right attitude. If you're going to fight, forget it. If you're going to argue, forget it. You don't do that. You go to the person and you start talking to them and you ask them, forgive me. Men, and you ladies, I know you've men already have gone through it, but you ladies are right. Men, us men, have too much pride. We do. We've talked about that in Sunday school class here before even ladies were here. But we got too much pride. And we need to listen to your wife, you know, and you need to ask her for forgiveness, first of all, of your pride, you know. But then, whatever the hurt may be, you know, ask forgiveness for it, you know. This putting away, you know, this just, you know, just living together. You need to ask forgiveness for it, whatever the case may be, whatever you got hurt over, and then put it away. Get rid of it. Put it in the back shelf. Once the forgiveness is forgiven, what did God do to you? He's forgiven you. And it's on the back shelf. Never, never again. You think that you're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, He's going to bring these things up to you that you've done? No way. He's not doing it. It's on His back. It's gone forever. You ask forgiveness for it, it's gone forever. That's what He wants. He wants that kind of fellowship. And that's what He's talking about. That's what I say. You forgive one another. You know, you forgive. And then you start over once again. You start over once again. Go ahead, Bonnie. It's not only the women, the men do too. I mean, my wife knows it. I'm one. If she gets me upset, I'm silent. But you better not keep festering me. Just let me alone. I'll cool down. Then we'll get it straightened out. It may take a while, but I'll cool down. I'll get over it. But, you know, don't keep festering me. Because that just agitates and adds more. You can't do that. We'll be talking about those kind of things later on, you know, with the husband and the wife and things like that there. But, you know, it's just one of them things, just like you say there. And that's just coming back here to what I'm saying, you know, the forgiveness part. You need to forgive one another, you know, for these kind of, whatever the hurt was, you need to forgive one another. What do you think Jesus Christ came here on this earth for? Why did Jesus come here? He came here to restore the fellowship between man and God. And it's only through Jesus now that we have that fellowship with man and God. He took upon the guilt. He took upon all the sin. He took upon everything upon Himself so that man and God can have that fellowship again. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God hath forgiven you. That's the lesson of a man and a woman getting themselves back together again. It's that forgiveness. That's the forgiveness that it is. You know, ask forgiveness. Let it come about. Let God do it then. Let God work in your life. Depend upon God, you know, then. The second thing here is trust one another. You need to trust one another. That's one of the things. That's something that just in a lot of homes today, you just don't see that, you know. You see this here, you see some of these things here that carry on and stuff with people. They need to learn to trust, to forgive one another and trust one another then, you know. If it's not trust, you know what the alternate of trust is? Jealousy, suspicion, and then they put protective walls up amongst themselves, you know, to keep themselves away from them so that they don't get hurt again. That's what it's all about, you know. And you need to trust one another. You need an unconditional trust with the partner, with your partner. And it is an unconditional trust, you know. And the Lord's the one that helps you. Husbands and wives got to commit themselves together to trust themselves. They need to do that. A man needs to trust a woman. Proverbs 31, 10 and 11a. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of the husband does safely trust in her. The husband's supposed to trust the wife. The wife is supposed to trust the husband. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's the part that's rough today. Is the women submitting themselves to their husbands. They think that they're that. See, that's what I was talking about there in the first place, the women's liberations and all this and that stuff. You know, they don't think they're equal. They are equal. That's why I say they are equal, but they're to submit themselves. The man was made first. We read these verses. The man was made first, and then the wife. You know, the wife was made for the husband, not the husband for the wife. So she's to submit herself to him, you know, no matter what it is. There's lots of things, though, that you can get into. Yeah, I see. There's lots of things that you can get into. But, you know, you've got to submit yourselves to your husbands. Go ahead. Well, there is. That's right. You have to have a biblical balance, you know, the husband, you know, he's not the ruler like that. He needs to talk to the wife. He needs to have the wife to help him to rule the house. He does. That's just the way it is. He does. He has to have the wife to do that. And it's just one of them things, you know. Trust them. Trust your wife. Wives, trust your husband. You know, it's a trust. Get that forgiveness taken care of between the two of you, and then trust one another, you know. Forget whatever happened that hurt you. Forget it. Ask forgiveness for it, and forget it. Put it on the back shelf. Start anew. Start afresh, you know. It's the same way when you feel that you've left the Lord down. You ask forgiveness. You start anew again. You start afresh again. You know, you, When you sin, you know you sin. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, you know you sin. And so you start afresh, you start anew again. So you do. Now, I just have a little bit more on this. I could teach, there's lots of lessons I could teach on divorce. I'm just hitting the highlights, that's all. But the one that I want to get into is, if you're remarried, should you get rid of that marriage? No. N-O, no. I got verses that I'm going to read to you. My time has just slipped away. Questions or comments on it? Yeah, it went like that, Corb. I don't know. Dan. Right. That's exactly what he did. Yes. The man is held responsible, you know. Look what Adam tried to do. He tried to blame it on Eve with God when God came to him. Oh, look, the woman you give to me. You know, she made me eat of that tree. No, she didn't. She didn't make you eat of that tree. You took it on your own, Adam. You know, you grabbed that fruit, whatever it was supposed to be, and you ate it on your own. Let me say this. I've been pushing this off. I don't know why, and the Lord wants me to say this today. Gentlemen, you didn't marry those guys, those friends of yours. Ladies, you didn't marry those lady friends of yours. You married your husband and wife. You do not need to be going out here ramming around and carrying on with friends and things like that. It's the husband and the wife now. Listen, when I was younger, there was a bunch of us ran together, and one of our friends, he had to get married, and he got married, but he thought he could still run with us, and we told him, we were smart enough at least to tell him, you can't run with us anymore, sorry, you need to be with your wife now, and we wouldn't let him run with us anymore, and this is happening today so much, it is unreal. So, I have something here I want to read to you. The night has 1,000 eyes and the day but one. Yet the light of the brightness of the world dies with the dying sun. The mind has 1,000 eyes and the heart but one. Yet the light of the whole life dies when love is done. Lord, I thank and praise you now for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the boldness of your word that you've given to me here today. And I pray, Father, that I can finish this lesson up, Lord, and, Lord, that we can learn from the different aspects of this, that you want us to be one, that you want us to be one as husband and wife, and you want us to be one with you, because that's what your church is all about. That's what this bride is all about, the oneness in Christ. So we thank and praise you now for this day and for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.